If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the 19th chapter of the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 19. We see here a psalm of David, who David was the greatest king Israel ever had, but the Lord Jesus. David was also a shepherd. David had a lot of time as he was keeping watch over his father's flock by night. When Samuel comes to anoint a king amongst Jesse's sons, you might recall that they go through all the sons, and the Lord tells Samuel, none of these are the one. And Jesse asked David, he said, do you not have any more sons? He said, well, there's one. He keepeth the sheep. David was out keeping his father's sheep. As we begin this psalm, I'd like for us to picture in our mind David keeping and watch over the flock of his father's sheep by night. A shepherd had a lot of time to think. A shepherd had a lot of time to look at the stars in the heavens, in the quietness of the night, and to think about the greatness of Almighty God. He begins by saying, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. That word firmament has not been used since Genesis when it was created. And it literally means the sky or the heavens. Both the place where the birds fly and the place where the planets exist. The Jews had a notion of three heavens. The first heaven was where the birds fly. The second heavens was where the moon and sun and the stars are, the planetary heavens. And then the third heaven was where God dwells. He said, the heavens declare the glory of God. This David was able to keep watch over his father's flock by night. He had a lot of time to look up at those stars and to see the declaration of the glory of God. We were blessed to see the Grand Canyon on our trip out west, and there was one of the supervisors in our office who's now retired, but he drove his children all the way over there. When they got there, he said some of their response was, is this it? Have we driven all this way? Is this it? And I'll confess, I had a little bit of anxiety that when I saw the Grand Canyon, I was hoping my response would not be the same. And I can tell you, when I saw it, I saw, like David proclaimed here, that the creation of the Lord declares the glory of God. When I saw that canyons and the beauties of it and the wonderful majesty of the creation of the Lord, I thought, how could anybody give the response that his children had given? The creation of the Lord is amazing, and it declares the glory of God. It said, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Creation is God's work. Man can't claim any credit for God's creation. Why? Man wasn't here. Man had not been created yet. The Bible begins by saying, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know, in the proclaiming of God's natural creation, I believe there's a picture of Creator God and His spiritual creation. You see, we can't take any credit for our spiritual creation either. By that I mean the new birth, being born again. We can't take any credit for that. Why? Because we were dead in trespasses and sins when it happened. As you begin in Genesis, there's an amazing similarity to me between what he describes as creating the natural creation and what God Almighty did in the spiritual creation. He said, in the beginning, God. He was all that was here, the eternal God. Man couldn't take any credit for it. It was God that did this work. Now I'll tell you, man can't take any credit for the spiritual creation. It's God Almighty that does that work. We were dead in trespasses and sins, unable to do anything in our spiritual creation. Said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Means it was empty. Said, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Kind of sounds like a dead alien sinner to me. Empty, void, dark. What made the difference? Man wasn't there in the physical creation. Man's dead in trespasses and sins in the spiritual creation. What made the difference? And the Spirit of God moved across the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. There was light. To the dead alien sinner, we heard the voice of the Son of God who said, let there be life. And he gave us life. He said, live. And we lived. John chapter 5 tells us where the Lord Jesus would say, for the hour is coming and now is when the dead, that is the dead in trespasses and sin, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So we see the glory of God in the natural creation, His majesty, His glory, His power, and we see it in the spiritual creation. And I'd like us, as we read through these verses, to think about both of those things, because I believe they're embraced in this. It says, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line, that is a measuring line, a measuring tape, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. You know, as we were blessed to see so much of the beauty of the Lord's creation, I was reminded that no matter where we are, there's some things that are the same. We were blessed to see a beautiful sunset in Yosemite, and the trees in Yosemite are very distinctive trees. If you remember the cartoon about Yogi Bear and Boo Boo, you would see emblems of those trees everywhere in that cartoon. And I was reminded of that, watching that cartoon as a little boy, as I saw those trees. So as we saw that beautiful sunset that night, you could see the shadow of those distinctive trees in the distance. And that made it distinctive. But if you looked above the trees, the same sunset that we were seeing in California, the same sunset you'd be seeing in Stringer, Mississippi. We got back last night and we were driving through Tallulah, Louisiana, anxiously awaiting to cross the Mississippi River to get back to Mississippi. And there was a beautiful sunset. And it was every bit as beautiful of a sunset as anywhere we had seen anything on our trip. Brother Ken Brenner enjoys taking pictures and photographs of the Lord's creation, and he particularly likes the sun rises and particularly the sun sets. And they're beautiful. And their line goes out over all the earth. It doesn't matter if you speak English, or if you speak Spanish, or if you speak Arabic, or French, or Latin. You can look up as a little child of God, and you can see the majesty and glory of God's creation, and it speaks in every language, and testifies, it declares the very glory of Almighty God. That's why the wicked of this world want to create, want to attack the truth of God being creator. Because they don't like that declaration of the glory of God. Speaks in any language. You know, we saw a glimpse of that at Pentecost. Where the Apostle Peter had been preaching, and God blessed men to preach on that occasion. And there were many different languages there, and many people from many different nations there. And they were all blessed to hear the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus in their own language. It was a great miracle on the day of Pentecost. They heard that good news in their language. Now I'm going to tell you, God blesses as a testimony of His creative hand for the heavens to declare the glory of God in every language. You know, when we look up in the heavens and we see the glory of God at night, we look to the stars. And we can see the glory and the declaration of the greatness of God as we look up at the stars of heaven. You know, God's little children are compared to stars in the scripture. You remember when God was making promise to Abraham, Genesis 15, he would say this. Verse 5 of Genesis chapter 15. And he brought him forth abroad. That is, God brought Abraham, or Abram at this time, forth abroad. And said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. That word tell means to count. A bank teller counts money. And they do it individually. We've got at least a couple of sisters in the congregation. There could be more that have worked at banks. And a bank teller counts the money. And they don't do it collectively, they do it individually. I've never had a bank teller just hand me a stack of money and say, I think this is about right. They don't do that. They say, 1, 2, 3, 4, they count it individually. God Almighty, when He's making promise to Abraham, He said, you tell the stars, you count the stars. Now that was an impossible task for Abraham because the stars are innumerable. And that's a sweet truth for us as old Baptists to know we believe in a big heaven. We believe that God's children, the number of them, are without number. But you know what that caused Abram to do? To do what God said. He's like, 1, 2, 3, 4. Every single star mattered. Every single star God loved. And every single star was a representative of a little child of God. He said, you count the stars, Abram. You tell the stars. Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. We know the ultimate seed of Abraham was through the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all these stars, all the children of God are embraced in that singular seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3 verse 16 says, to Abraham and to his seed, singular, were the promises made. He said not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and of thy seed, which is Christ. So the innumerability of Abraham's seed would be all these stars, all these little children of God that were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. He said, you tell the stars. He said, so shall thy seed be. And I'm going to tell you, it's a testimony. Whenever we look up and we look at the stars and we begin to count individually, it's a testimony to how God loved you and you and you and you. Tell the stars. The heavens declare the glory of God. You know we're supposed to do that as stars. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 5 would tell his disciples, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He said, let your light shine to declare the glory of God. If a star wasn't shining, would we see it? The heavens declare the glory of God because the heavens shine. May God bless us as His people to let our light shine. Not just on Sunday, but every day of the week, to declare the glory of God. People ought to see something different about us. The way we walk, the way we talk, the things we say, the things we don't say. We as the little stars of God ought to declare the glory of God every day. I love what it says in Psalms 147, which is a good companion text to these counting of the stars. Psalms 147, beginning in verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. We've experienced that today. We've lifted up our hearts and our voices in praise to Almighty God. We've experienced this praise. Ye the Lord, for it's good to sing praise unto our God, for it's pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Now, I'm going to tell you, that sounds like the context of worshiping God. Worshiping God in songs, coming together, hearing the good news of the gospel that binds up our broken hearts and heals us by the good news of the gospel. It's not what gives us life, but it gives us the good news about the life that the Lord has given unto us. And in the midst of this psalm about worship, he said, he telleth. Not only he counteth, he telleth, God does, he telleth the number of stars. Not only did God tell Abram, you count the stars if you're able, and he couldn't, but he counts the stars. And God can count them all. And every single one's important to God. And he thinks about us individually. The Bible tells us the very hairs of our head are all numbered. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. I don't know that. I don't know how many hairs are on my head. I heard one preacher say recently, he not only knows how many hairs are on our head, he knows the number of the hair that just fell out. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he cares about us. He counts the stars. And he says, he calleth them all by their names. He knows us intimately. He calls us by our name. He counts us. He loves us. He walks with us. The Lord Jesus, as portrayed as the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10, says he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. You get the picture, we're not alone. Sometimes we may feel alone in this world, but the Lord's promise, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. I'm the great shepherd, and I call you by name, and I lead you out. He goes before us. We're never alone, but our gentle, loving shepherd leads us and guides us and comforts us as we walk along life's pathways. Great is our Lord, and great, and of great power, his understanding is infinite. That's the greatness of our Lord. And this great Lord loves us. He's concerned about the little things in our life. We get back to Psalms 19. It said their line has gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. I'm going to tell you, wherever anybody is able to see the glory of the sun and the brightness of the sun and the moon and the stars, whenever anybody sees them shining, it makes a difference. Their line goes out and testifies to the glory of God. We as the stars of God, as the people of God, we're to declare his glory wherever we go. We're never to not be shining. Wherever we go, to testify to the glory of God. said, in them he has set a tabernacle for the Son, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Now he uses two emblems here that are strong pictures in the Bible of the Lord Jesus Christ. He mentions the Son, S-U-N, and he mentions the bridegroom. Both are strong emblems and pictures of our husband, our Son, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, in these heavens, he set a tabernacle for the Son. You know, the Ark of the Covenant, where the very presence of the glory of God would meet with Moses and the children of Israel. It was in a tabernacle. It was in a tent. You know why? Because it moved. The children of Israel were supposed to look at that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. And when it moved, they were to move. When we see the sun rising, it moves. Now, I'm going to tell you, when the sun rises, you don't have long to see that sunrise. That time where the sun is coming over the horizon, it's not long. Same with the sunset. You've got to be ready when the sun's setting to see the sunset, or you can miss it. And it compares this to the Lord. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the Son, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. Let's look at and just quickly go, and some of them I may just quote, to some scriptures that talk about the Lord Jesus as the Son. We look at the very end of Malachi. The end of Malachi is going to mark the beginning of some 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew. So I'm going to tell you, these last words of Malachi are important words indeed. Malachi chapter 4 verse 2, but says, unto you that fear my name, unto little children of God that have a fear of God and a love of God in their heart, he said, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise. Now this Son of Righteousness, this word Son is spelled S-U-N. It's capitalized. It's talking about the Son of Righteousness, S-O-N. He's using that play between the physical Son that's so bright. You know, when Saul of Tarsus saw the very brilliant glory of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, he said it was brighter than the brightness of the noonday sun. Have you ever gone out at noon on a day and the sun's so bright you literally can't keep your eyes open? A lot of the material around the courthouse is white concrete. And I'll tell you, if I go out on a sunny day, I cannot keep the brightness of the sun and reflecting on that white concrete, it's so bright, I can't keep my eyes open. I'll tell you, the brightness of the sun, S-O-N, makes that pale in comparison. The brightness of the little sun pales in comparison with the brightness of the Son of Righteousness that arises with healing in his wings. Do we need healing today? Do we need healing in our lives? He said, unto you that fear my name. He said, the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings. And I believe we've been blessed to see glimpses of that in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ when we come broken and burdened and afraid, and we hear the good news of the gospel, and we're blessed to see glimpses of the glory of the Son of Righteousness who arises with healing in his wings. He can do no healing that no doctor can do. We have heart doctors, but we don't have them for the kind of heart I'm talking about. We've got heart doctors for this physical organ. But I'll tell you, when our hearts are broken before the Lord, there's no doctor in this universe that can heal that but one. And it's the Son of Righteousness, and we arise with healing. He arises with healing in his wings. Ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. That's the fatted calf. That's the calf that's been taken care of. That's the one who, when the father wanted to show love to the son that had left and had been out in the hog pen, and the father's overflowing with the heart of love because his son's come home, he falls on his neck and kisses him. He says, kill the fatted calf. Kill the best one. Kill the calf we've been taking care of. Kill the calf we've been feeding so much. He said, we grow up like calves of the stall. The Lord takes care of us. The Lord feeds us. The Lord provides for us. We're like calves of the stall. He's taking such good care of us. Ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. I'll tell you, when we're blessed to see the sun arise with healing in his wing, it helps us have victory over the wicked. When we see what the Lord has done for us and the great victory that he won for us on Calvary's seat, it helps us every day that we live, because we know we have total and complete victory because of what the Lord Jesus has done. And that helps me live in an old wicked world today. Helps me today when I see that sun arise with healing in his wings. Have you ever had a tough night where you just couldn't wait for the morning to come? The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Where we wait, Lord, just I'm so ready for the sun to rise. Help me see the brightness of the new day. We're able to see that in the spiritual sense. We hear the good news of our salvation and all that the Lord's done for us. We're able to see the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. John in Revelation would say, he's the root and the offspring of David, and he's the bright and morning star. That word morning star, he's the sunrise. He said he's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Lord's our bridegroom. He compares here the sun like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It's beautiful to see a sunrise. That's the start of a new day. That's the life and vitality of the new day. Said it's like a bridegroom coming out of the chamber. You know, our weddings today are a little bit different than they were in Bible times in the Middle East. The focus in our weddings tend to be on the bride. Wasn't so in Bible times. The focus was on the groom. It wasn't here comes the bride, it was here comes the groom. And I like at weddings to look at the groom's face when the bridegroom comes out of the chamber. Usually the groom appears and he comes up to the front first. He's come out of his chamber. He's up in front of the assembly that's gathered there. And I've been blessed to see the face of the bridegroom as I've been blessed to officiate weddings. The most recent one I officiated from this angle was Brother Ruffin and Sister Eliza's. And Brother Ruffin was to my right, so I could look right there and I could see his face. When Sister Eliza came out, I saw the look upon his face as if he was carried away with the love that he had for his bride. There's a verse that talks about this in Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 9. This is the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, our husband and our king, who is talking about us, his bride. He said, "Thou hast ravished my heart." He looks at us and said, "I'm ravished with my bride. I'm ravished with you." That word ravished literally means to be carried away, to be transported by love. That's what the word means. "Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices? Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon." And all this figurative language is used for the love that our bridegroom, our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, has for us. You know, we come together to worship him this morning, to adore and to describe glory unto his name. We love him and we want to show that love. But you know what he does when the saints of God meet? He comes out of his chamber. He meets with us. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, "There am I in the midst of them." He's saying the bridegroom comes out of his chamber to meet with you. Revelation says, when John looked back, he saw a bunch of candlesticks. The Bible tells us those candlesticks are the churches. He looks back and he sees the glorified risen Christ. And where is he? He's standing in the midst of the golden candlesticks. The bridegroom's come out of his chamber. And he's ravished. He's carried away with the love that he has for his bride. You know how carried away he was? He left the throne room of heaven and immortal glory to come to this low ground of sin and sorrow. It was carried all the way to the cross of Calvary because of the love he had for his bride. It was sweet for me to look that day on the face of Brother Ruffin when he saw his bride, and he was ravished and carried away with her love. I thought for a minute I was going to have to hold him up for a minute. But when I walked Sister Annalee down the aisle, I saw a different view. I was looking at Brother Ruffin from the side as he looked at his bride. But I was standing right next to the bride when I walked Annalee down the aisle, so I was able to see from the perspective of the bride, the angle she sits. And as soon as we came through those doors, and Brother John Anthony's eyes met his bride, he was ravished with her love. I don't think that look was for me, was it, Brother John? I didn't think so. But I got to see the same look that she got to see. What a blessing when the bridegroom comes out of his chamber. And I hope as he's ravished with our love, we'd always be ravished with his. He's told us that we are precious in his sight. We have the sweet opportunity to be there when he comes out of his chamber. You know, when the Lord's saints are met together and the bride comes out of his chamber and we're not here, the bridegroom's come out of his chamber, but part of the bride's not here. What a blessing. And the bridegroom comes out of his chamber, and the bride's there, and the bride's ready. Sister Anne Lee didn't just show up at the wedding dirty, clothes with tears and ravels in them. It takes a long time for a bride to get ready. We should come to the house of God ready. Amen. Not as much, and I do think we should come our best, even on the outside, but most of the preparations, not on the outside, most of the preparations on the inside. Do I have an attitude for worship? Am I longing to see the bridegroom? Have I been in his word? Let's go over some of these verses quickly. I know we're running out of time. He said, for the law of the Lord, listen to these adjectives. For the law of the Lord, the scripture, God's holy word that we're all blessed to have, it's perfect. I'm going to skip some words to give these adjectives that's describing God's word. It's perfect. It's sure. It's right. It's pure. The fear of the Lord, it's clean. It's true. It's righteous. Don't we long for all those things? Perfect. Sure. Right. Pure, clean, true, righteous. Our bridegroom loves us so much, he's given us his word. Says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That doesn't mean the new birth, but it means changing us to the right way of thinking. You know what's the best way for me when Mark Quarles ain't thinking right? Is to go to the Word of God. And to conform my thinking to what God said. It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Those are some precious things. And you know, those are things that get the bride ready to see the bridegroom when he comes out of his chamber. It says more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. That's telling us that God's law, God's word, the holy scriptures are more precious than gold, than fine gold, and we need them desperately. We need these words. We need to be in the Word of God every single day. It's more precious than gold. Let's say that I didn't know where my next meal was coming from. That I was so poor. I didn't know where my next bite of food may come from. I had no place for shelter, no place to call my home. The clothes that I had upon me were tattered and worn, and I was in desperate need. A very generous man in the community comes to me with a brick of gold. She says, here it is. What you think I'd do in that desperate situation? I'd grab the gold and I'd be thankful for it. How much more should we grab this? How much more should we run to this? The desperate condition I describe of the man who was poor financially, we're every bit as poor needing this word of God every day. Because the Lord's given us a new heart that loves Him and wants to do right, but we still got that old Adam nature. We've still got something within us that the Apostle Paul, as great a man as he was, as faithful a minister of the gospel as he was, and as much as he suffered for preaching the gospel, he would still say, when I would do good, evil is present with me. He'd say, oh, wretched man that I am. Not that I was. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I'll tell you, we need to be in this word every day. Every day. We need it desperately. And what a blessing it is when we're in the word. What a blessing it is to find these pure things, these righteous things, these true things, these things that change our bad thinking into good thinking. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey. And the honeycomb. It's how sweet the Word of God is. You know, the more I read the Word of God, the more I want to see the bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. He said, through God's word, we're warned. The other day, we were headed to Mount Gilead Church. I kept seeing warning signs. Road closed. Bridge out. I had been there numerous months ago, saw some of those signs, and I said, nah, this isn't right. I just keep going. Till I saw the bridge was out. And I'm like, maybe I need to listen to the warning signs. See, the first time I saw those signs, it was a false warning. You could still go that way. And I made a wrong assumption that it was still a false warning. You know something? The Bible never gives false warnings. The Bible, when it warns us about something, it's important and we need to listen. Now, I'm going to tell you, if we see a sign that says, bridge out, and we don't listen, we could plummet to our death from a physical standpoint. Now, I'll tell you, when we don't heed to the warnings in God Almighty's word, the same thing can happen in our life. The Bible talks about people that made their life shipwreck. They didn't listen to the warnings of God's word. But it says, in keeping of them, in keeping of God's word, there is great reward. Not a little reward, not a little bit of help. Great reward. We want to have an abundant life. The more we can conform our life to the pattern of God's holy word, the better our life will be. That doesn't mean we'll be the richest. But I'll tell you, I believe we'll have more joy in the Lord. We pattern our lives after this. One of the happiest brothers I ever met was poor in this world's goods. But he was thankful for everything he had. And every day he woke up, he was thankful and rejoicing in the Lord his Savior. One of the happiest men I've ever met. It says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. You know, we could be doing wrong stuff and not even know it if we're not in the Word of God. We could be doing wrong stuff and not know it. That's the secret sins. Lord, show me. You know, sometimes we may have a spider web with a spider in the corner of our house. Till we shine the light on it, we don't know it's there. Could be a snake over in that corner that'll bite us. It takes the light to shine on to show the danger of it. The Bible describes God's word as a lamp. Light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. See, there's some secret sins that we may not even know are sins till we get more faithful in the word of God. But there's some sins we know it's sins and we just don't care. That word presumptuous means arrogant. And I'll tell you, there's been times in my life where I knew I was sinning. And at the time in my arrogance and pride, I just didn't care. That's not a good place to be. But the word of God can convict us of those things as well. How important it is for us to read the word of God. Keep back thy servant. We should pray that. From presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion or control or victory over me. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Then he finishes with this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The best way we can be ready when the bridegroom comes out of his chamber is to be in his word and to say, Lord, help me. Lord, help the words of my mouth, everything I say, and the meditations of my heart, everything I feel and I believe in my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You may say, Brother Mark, I don't have the strength to do that. We don't have to. He's our strength. We couldn't redeem ourselves. He redeemed. What a sweet blessing that despite all my faults and all my failures, he loves me so much as one of God's little stars that he's counted me individually. And he's called me out by name. I love the story of Esther, little Hebrew girl orphan. The world probably didn't think much of her. But Mordecai, her adopted father, loved her. I'll tell you, God loved her. Esther's name means star. Her Hebrew name's Hadassah. Means myrtle tree. You know what the bloom of a myrtle tree is? It's a star. We're all little Esthers. We're all little stars, and God loves us, and God takes care of us. We're his bride. And he comes out of his chamber to meet with us. And he's ravished with his love. May I be ready to meet you. May I be ravished with his love. May I be ready as the bridegroom of Christ to fellowship with him in sweet, sweet times that only he can bring. May God richly bless you, is my prayer.